Thank you for tuning into the weekly sermon from Journey of Hope, a United Methodist community. We are a welcoming community that fosters belonging and acceptance. Through ministries, we enable individuals to transform their lives as they learn to follow Jesus Christ. We follow the guidance of the Spirit in sharing our faith through missional adventures, building relationships, and offering our witness to our community and world. We serve the Elgin, Illinois area and are located at the corner of Randall Road and Highland. To learn more about us, you can check us out at johumc.org or any of our social media platforms by searching Journey of Hope. And now, here is this week's message.
Good morning. This morning our reading may look short, but in these six verses, it is power-packed. Just power-packed. So I take the reading this morning from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of calling to which you have been called, with all the lowliness and meekness with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. May God bless both the reading and the hearing of his word.
People try to put us to death.
Generation,
just because we get around.
Talking about my generation,
things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation,
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation,
take my generation, baby. Why don't you all fade away? Don't try and dig what we all say. Big sensation. I'm just talking about my generation.
Talking about my generation. We've been talking a lot about generations. A lot of different generations and differences and maybe some similarities that you've been able to see. And so we close it up today. So I'd ask that you would pray with me. Gracious and loving God, I ask that that the words that I speak would no longer be my own. God, that the words that I speak and share would be your words and your message for your people. All this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the main books that that I had been studying for this series is a book written by Hayden Shaw. It was a book called Generational IQ. And that was the book that had that subtitle that begins to really take on meaning, especially for us today. And that is, Christianity isn't dying, millennials aren't the problem, and the future is bright. And also, if you remember, we had focused on a scripture passage for the past 4 weeks, and it's one that we just heard Kimberly read again today. Ephesians 4. My translation is this: I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy through the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Yeah. It's been a wild ride over these past few weeks, and I hope that you've enjoyed not only the discussion of the differences in generations, but also that you found yourself in some of the descriptions and the characteristics that I shared. And then we had these interviews. You know, and I really got to say thank you to all of those who kind of jumped right in and said yes, because my first email went out and everyone that I sent the first email to said, yes, I would love to. They jumped right in and said yes to something that many of us might have found a little intimidating as you shared your thoughts and views on life. So Dan, Lisa, Andy, and Mackenzie, thank you so much. And I'm sure the rest of the nation thanks you as well for sharing. Well, what have we learned over these past few weeks? Well, I mean, without going back over all of the generalizations and stereotypes from the many different generations, I think we can all say that we've noticed differences. Differences in characteristics, views, beliefs, and feelings that everybody has. We've learned that people grow up and are shaped by a world that they live in, and that world has changed so much over these generations. We've also heard how some of our very own, about how they view the church and other generations. And I hope you've taken some notes. And maybe you've had some discussions. I remember last week looking out and seeing quite a few, actually jotting down some notes about what we were talking about. But I also want to remind you that you can catch up on any of these messages. Maybe that you might have missed, you can go to our YouTube channel, or you know, maybe you just want to watch them again. Maybe you didn't miss them, but you said, I think there was more in there that I wanted to pick up on. Jonathan Edwards once wrote, "Knowledge is the key that first opens the hard heart, enlarges affections, and opens the way for humanity into the kingdom of heaven." Knowledge is great. But if we don't use it or put it into practice, we have once again failed. Knowledge is just the beginning of a long journey. Christianity isn't dying. Millennials aren't the problem, and the future really is bright. God's design from the very beginning is the body of Christ unified. Not united in all the different political beliefs, societal norms, or even spiritual gifts, but united in one mission, one calling, and that is in Christ Jesus. It is one body. Paul writes in multiple places about the differing gifts and different vocations from pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets and even evangelists. And to help with all of this, we are each given different spiritual gifts to use in our vocation. Now notice, I didn't say jobs, because a vocation is a higher calling. It is what you do while you are at your job, with your family, or with a group of friends. We all have different ways to accomplish this because, let's just say, some of you might be introverts. Introverts unite. I mean, the whole pandemic thing is right up our alley. And while the person sitting next to you might be an extrovert, and this has been torture. Some are younger, while others seem to be a little more seasoned, as we call them. We are all needed in the body of Christ. We really are. We all have a place and a vocation. We need to celebrate our differences and then take it a step further. We need to use those differences in proclaiming the kingdom of God right where we are. And that means that some of you will be sharing life with others in school, some while others do this at their jobs, and still others will be at the church, social gatherings, and so many other places. I mean, can you really see how one person can't cover all of this distance by themselves? We need each other if we're going to reach everyone. But how do we do this? How do we invite and remain open to people of all walks of life, of many generations, and other views other than ours? Is where what we've discussed comes into light. Here is where we can take that knowledge and do something with it. As we heard last week, the younger generations are not big on just having knowledge or just talking about things with any actionable steps. And so that's where we need to go. Okay, so the future is bright. Maybe you're asking yourself, Pastor Jared, is it really? Because I think if we look at the news and the world around us, we might see a different picture. And I guess if we look at media, and especially social media, we can see that version of the world. Many have even said that Christianity will be dead in just three generations. But there's a couple of things that I would like to bring to us that might point us in another direction. You see, in 2014, Barna had a study where they asked unchurched adults, about seeking a better spirituality, a deeper meaning to life than just what they saw in front of them. 51% said they were seeking for something else, something deeper, something more spiritual. They wanted meaning to life. Guess what? We have it. We have the answers to some of those questions that they're asking. They may just need to be restructured and delivered in a different way for them to understand. The other reason that we can say that this isn't true, that Christianity is not going to die in three generations, is because of what is written in Scripture. And from what we know about Jesus Christ, Jesus told us what is to come. And it wasn't the end of Christianity, but the worship of God, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Counter-arguments just ain't so. However, this doesn't mean that we just sit back and watch things unfold. We have an active part in building the kingdom. So we need to get to work. Because it seems like we are focused on the younger generations, I wanted to remind you of some of the things that are defining their beliefs. One, they are less patient with institutions. I think the baby boomers began this thinking this way, and then the Gen Xers took it a step farther, and now millennials and Gen Z have really raised the game here. They are less likely to be married. Or if they are, they're getting married at an older age. They want certainty in life before they can make huge decisions like this, which actually goes along with the next point. They're waiting longer to have kids, if they have them at all. They want to be able to provide for them, have time to spend and be secure in their jobs first. I remember Mackenzie telling me, she says, you know, if we wanted kids, she says, we want to have lawns to have kids, and we can't afford to have lawns. And so they hold off. Number four, while other generations might tell them that time never really comes, that time of being secure in everything, and we all tell them, it may not show up. They want to be sure. Five, they think Christians are too judgmental. Yes, and we need to change that. Number six, turned off by Christians in politics. There's a huge amount of hypocrisy found here. It seems like political priorities try to say that they're the only ones that are Christian. But Scripture finds commonality with viewpoints in both political parties. But I think it also falls in line with people in leadership roles who call themselves Christian, but their actions don't match their beliefs. And this happens, unfortunately, in the clergy world as well. We don't have to look too far to see instances like that. We as a church can work with this. Remember that knowledge is the beginning. Now that we know this, we can move forward, applying these concepts and beliefs to our ministry focus. But see, there's another piece of this confusing puzzle, and it's found in what seems to be a typical life cycle within the church. I think many generations have followed this, and you might be one that recognizes this as maybe your life cycle in the church. I mean, many of us grow up in the church. We go to Sunday school, we learn the stories of the Old Testament, we learn the biblical characters, and you go through confirmation, and you join the church, and then in your late teens and early 20s, those times come in, and you find yourselves drifting away from the church as you want to live your life. I recently had a conversation with my daughter about a guy she was texting. Had nothing to do with the fact that she was texting a guy. What he said is typical of a certain age. He said that he hadn't been to church in a while, although he was trying to come across with some Christian teaching and Christian thoughts for her. Said that he hadn't been to church in a while, but he was planning on going back. He just wanted to get some things out of his system. He wanted to do things that the church wouldn't have thought too good, you know, like partying, having sex before marriage, and so many other things. His thought was to do those things now so that when he was older, he wouldn't feel like doing them anymore. And then he would just ask for forgiveness, because that's what God is all about, right? I reminded my daughter about Gen Z missing the contradictions in their own morality. And he most certainly was doing that. Well, you see, by our late 20s and maybe 30s, we get married, we start to have a family, and many at this time will start to come back to church because of some of the things that they were taught. They want this for their family. And then as we age, or as I said earlier, we become more seasoned, we become more devoted in our faith journey. We're able to offer more time and resources to the church and to the mission of Jesus Christ. It seems like a normal cycle. And maybe you can think of your lives in the midst of that cycle. But what if we were to flip the script? What if we were able to find a way to reach out to younger generations and to help them grow in their faith at a younger age? The older generations have so much to offer. We just need a way to disseminate that wisdom. In his book, Hayden Shaw gave three options when it came to dealing with five generations in church, which is what we're kind of looking at. First, his first option was to change the church now. Change it completely, right now. Option two was to grow old together, and we'll talk about that and in just a moment. And the last one was to pretend that you can reach all five generations, especially with what you're doing right now. As I thought about this, I came to the understanding that we are in the best position to grow old together, and I mean, this is twofold, and the reason I feel that it is this way is we have a strong, and I mean a really strong membership of older adults. You matter. Your lives matter, and your ministry and your faith matter. And I don't want to lose this. And neither do I want you to sacrifice yourselves for the sake of reaching the other generations. The other side is the and part of the statement. I think we can truly support and celebrate the older generations while offering the younger generations something to help them in their spiritual journey. It truly can be both. We can grow old together and start something new, but only if you're with me. This can only happen if we are all on board with where God is calling us. And so let me first acknowledge a fear that many of us have. Many long-term members of churches have this fear of losing their church. It's especially hard when we begin thinking about the increasing age of population. I mean, we kind of look at this big picture and say, well, what would it feel like if we lived in a strange house for 20 to 30 years? This is what it could feel like. Living in a church that doesn't seem like your church. It doesn't seem like the church that you grew up in, and so it doesn't feel right. This is what I say when we grow old together and begin something new. The question we seem to ask ourselves is why won't young people come to church? I heard so many people, not just here in this congregation, in so many other churches, ask that exact same question. Why won't younger people come to church? And it's the wrong question. We need to rephrase the question in order to make it correct. And so I ask you to think about this question in a little different way. And so here's the way we should be answering this question or asking this question. What will we need to do differently to reach younger generations? What will we need to do differently to reach the younger generations? In answer to that question, I want you to truly hear Mackenzie's response to that question. I asked her that question. The question that we've all been asking, frankly, for far too long in the church without actions to back it up. And so I asked her what it would take to bring her generation to church in this time. What would we need to do differently? And so I want you to listen to her words. Listen to the message that she brings this morning. And so go ahead and play that clip.
I think one of the big things is like either a change in time or not having a time. Like for me, like I've always kind of felt like I like having a community here, but I don't feel like I need a community or like weekly, like scheduled, regimented things in order to like be a Christian. Like, you know, isn't there that thing where it's like where one or two are gathered in my name, there I will be also. And I feel like, you know, like, and we even have that whole song where it's like the church is not a building. Like, so I think like just letting something be fluid and being like inclusive regardless of like how often someone may or may not come, I think definitely having more hands-on opportunities. Like, I think a lot of people my age would feel like they did more and got more out of, you know, doing like a charity thing. Like, we'd rather be like at Feed My Starving Children filling those bags with food than sitting in a pew and singing and then going home. Like, we're not doing anything for anyone by like, and you know, like sermons, like they're helpful because like it's nice being told like you're loved and you didn't screw up your life by doing this or that, but like I think like actions help more than like words or just like old traditional things, but like definitely like more hands-on things, and then also like being willing to like take risks and like making like having like a definite strong voice and not just like a voice when it's convenient. There's a Methodist church in Sycamore where their sign out front says like Black Lives Matter, and it's like, you know, like are you saying that in your sermons and putting money towards it, or is this just like pandering? Like, I think that's another thing too. I think they're just thinking like we're gonna say like we want a rock band instead of the organ, like, you know, or they want something where it's, like, easy and, like, you know, like, having to, like, actually, like, do stuff or, like, I hate to be, like, actually having to change and think things, like, shake things up. Ugh. I think, like, people want easy change and they don't want to, like, look inside themselves and be, like, critical. You know, like, seriously, like, it is a conversation in our friend group about, like, what are you doing right now for, like, different movements. And I mean, like, you know, we're not showing each other, like, I donated $30 to, like, the bail fund. Well, I donated $40. But, like, you know, like, if someone's not doing anything, there's definitely, like, you know, like, everyone else is being like, we notice you're being silent. Yeah, so I think, like, that's, like, a big thing is, like, just, like, being, like, authentically active and not just, like, pandering. So I think, like, that's the biggest thing is, like, authenticity and then, like, being active. So, and it has to be, like, you know, like, a group thing. Like, it's one thing to, like, you know, say, like, oh, we should all do something and then not do anything or complain that nothing's getting done. Like, just with, like, the election. Like, if you didn't vote, you don't have a right to complain about what's going on. So I think those are, like, the two big takeaways. And then just, like, opening arms and, like, being inclusive. Like, you know, like, no one should be, you know, told they're going to hell for being gay or for wearing yoga pants or not being white or not being Christian. Like, it's just ridiculous. Yeah.
So here's where knowledge comes in. What do we know about the older generations, the other generations? What are they looking for, not only in the church, but also in life? I mean, we hear from Mackenzie on millennials and Gen Zs. They're looking for relationships. They're looking for authenticity. They're looking for action. But they're also looking for humor. They want to have mentor relationships. They want to go deep and they want to ask the difficult questions. Gen X is looking for family, for stability, and for more interactive worship experiences and to embrace technology. This is where we begin. This is a starting point as we plan ministries, worship experiences, and mission work. This is how we decide how to use our building and how we engage our community. If you're looking for events, programs, and ideas this morning, you might be a little disappointed because this is something that we need to do together. So over the next few months, as you know, we as a church will discern where God is calling us and what ministries we are being called to continue and to begin. Now, for all of you traditionalists and boomers, there are things that I want to encourage with you. Keep giving to your church. Give of your time and your resources, your wisdom and your knowledge. These are incredibly important as we look to empower the younger generations. Give your church over to the mission of Jesus Christ, whatever that may look like. Trust in God's plan, but also allow for younger leaders not only to lead, but also be gracious when they make mistakes. Mentor someone. Remember that it wasn't that long ago when you were younger and you made a lot of mistakes. Remember that the church is not about you. It's about God and this wonderful salvation plan that we get to participate in. With the average age ever increasing, here's something else that is also incredibly important. We need to figure out what the second adulthood is all about. We need to have events and ministries for older adults, as well as the younger ones. The focus shouldn't be completely on millennials and Gen Z. Maybe we need to have an alternate worship service just for seniors. And finally, talk less, smile more, be humble, be patient, be gentle. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we struggle at times with your words for us. We struggle from time to time about what your calling is for our lives. We struggle with knowing a direction. God, we struggle with loving you and loving our neighbors. And so, God, we have heard over 5 weeks different voices from different ages, all speaking your truth. And so, God, I ask that you would help us to discern the full truth. Help us to make decisions for your church. Help us to make decisions that will grow your church, that will reach all generations, that will help all of us grow in our faith and our love of you. God, thank you for the message. Thank you sometimes for disturbing us right where we sit. And now call us to action. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been fed. We've been fed by the Word and with God's grace here at the table. And so we get ready to go forth from this place after coming and gathering, whether it's here in this building or those at home watching. We've come, we've worshiped, we've shared together. And now it's time for us to go from this place and to take the light of Christ into the world around us, spreading his light to all we come in contact with, to spread the love and the hope and the peace that God offers to us, to others as well, regardless of who they are, what they look like, what age they are. Let us go and share that love of God, because it is that love of God. It is the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that goes with us, that allows us to do those things. And it goes with us always. Amen.